or a chip, and here's why. Bitterness keeps you from flying. Always stay humble and kind. Know the difference between sleeping with someone and sleeping with someone you love. I love you, ain't no pickup line, so always stay humble and kind. Hold the door, say please, say thank you. Don't steal, don't cheat, and don't lie. I know you got mountains to climb, but always stay humble and kind. When those dreams you're dreaming come to you, when the work you put in is realized, let yourself feel the pride, but always stay humble and kind. It's hot, eat a root beer popsicle. Shut off the AC and roll the windows down. Let that summer sunshine always stay humble and kind. Don't take for granted the love this life gives you. When you get where you're going, don't forget, turn back around. Help the next one in line. Always stay humble and kind.
Live from Northwest Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 95.7 St. Croix Country, WSCM Baldwin, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 95.7 St. Croix Country.
And whose lips have you been kissing? InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
In today's high-tech world, algorithms are shaping our decisions on a daily basis. But are there risks in giving artificial intelligence so much control over our lives?
They drive over a third of the product choices we make on Amazon. On Netflix, nearly 80% of our viewing activity is driven by these recommendation algorithms.
Then, a leading psychology expert says that bias occurs naturally in everyone. It comes into play even when we try treating others equally.
The beliefs and feelings we have about social groups that can influence our decision-making and our actions, even when we're not aware of it.
Those two stories and more are coming your way on this week's show. Stay with us. InfoTrack begins right after this.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential. But finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Eyezervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Eyezervay gets GA going slower.
Eyezervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Eyezervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Eyezervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Eyezervay today.
Eyezervay gets GA going slower.
Visit iZervay.com. That's iZervay.com.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
If you use Facebook, Google, or Amazon, you've experienced algorithms making decisions for you behind the scenes. But are we allowing the algorithms too much control? Our next guest is an expert on the topic. He's Kartik Hosanagar, professor at the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania and author of A Human's Guide to Machine Intelligence, How Algorithms Are Shaping Our Lives and How We Can Stay in Control. Kartik, give us a couple of examples of decisions that algorithms might make for us on a typical day.
Well, Chris, algorithms are all around us. We're used to recommendations on Amazon. People who bought this also bought this. They drive over a third of the product choices we make on Amazon. On Netflix, nearly 80% of our viewing activity is driven by these recommendation algorithms on Netflix. They're at the workplace. For example, recruiters consult algorithms to figure out which applicants to invite for job interviews. Bankers use algorithms to figure out which mortgage applications to approve and the interest rate to charge. They're even making life and death decisions. So, for example, they're used in courtrooms in the U.S. where judges and parole officers consult algorithms that predict the likelihood that a defendant will reoffend, and they use that to make bail and sentencing decisions. Doctors consult them as well to make treatment decisions. So they're really all around us.
If we were to take those examples to extremes, what kind of examples might be made for us without our control in the future?
Well, there are many cases where these systems are making decisions for us or about us, and mostly this is a good thing because they are really simplifying decision-making for us. But we've seen recently that they can indeed go wrong. So, for example, in 2016, ProPublica did an analysis that showed that algorithms used in courtrooms had a race bias. Similarly, Amazon found that an algorithm they were using to shortlist job applicants had a gender bias. And we know in 2016, Facebook replaced human editors with an algorithm to curate trending news stories, and that ended up circulating a lot of fake news. There was this crash of the Boeing airplane, and at the end of the day, this was an autopilot algorithm that failed, and humans didn't know how to take control. The issue here is that we need to have checks and balances, so when they fail, we know how to take back control and we know how to avoid serious damage.
Would you say that people don't really trust algorithms, even though they seem to be sort of running our lives in the background, but people maybe don't have faith that they're getting the right decisions made for them?
When we trust human decision makers and they fail, we are a bit more forgiving of those decision makers because we kind of treat this as human limitations. But when it comes to algorithms, we trust them a lot, but once we see them fail, we are less likely to trust them. Also, I think our trust in the algorithms goes up if we have some control over those algorithms. You know, in a setting like Amazon and Netflix making recommendations, well, they often go wrong. They often make poor recommendations, but we are okay with that because we have control. We can reject the poor ones. But when an autopilot system has a crash or a driverless vehicle has a crash, I think the implications are different because these are autonomous systems. And so trust takes on a whole new dimension when we don't have that control. And we also don't have transparency with regard to how these algorithms work, why they make the choices they make. And these factors are very important to driving trust.
We're talking with Kartik Hosanagar, a professor at the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania and author of A Human's Guide to Machine Intelligence, How Algorithms Are Shaping Our Lives and How We Can Stay in Control. Professor, when we sign up to use a website or a web application, usually they have terms and conditions, which are pages and pages of fine print, and I don't think anybody reads those.
Right.
Are we pretty much losing our rights in this whole use of algorithms? How can people retain some personal rights in these situations?
Yeah, we are losing a lot of control and a lot of our rights. We don't know most of the fine print, and those specify many important aspects. You know, what kind of data are being collected about us? What are they doing with the data? Who might they be sharing that data with? Whether we have the right to look at the data, whether we have the right to ask for deletion of the data if we are not happy with what they've collected about us, and so on. And those things are all hidden in fine print, and most of us don't know about it. I think in terms of taking back control, certainly we are dealing with large, powerful corporations where, you know, they're often completely dominant in their market, so it's not even like we have other choices. But at the same time, I think we have some level of control through, I'm going to say, education, votes, and dollars. Education is all about, let's not be as passive when we use technology. Let's be more deliberate about understanding how these systems are changing decisions we make or others make for or about us. And that's an important consideration. Most of us don't even realize, you know, how these systems work, even at a very high level, or, you know, how are they making decisions for us? And I think that education is important, because if we are informed, we can push back. And history shows that firms do comply. So if you look at Facebook, for example, they recently announced they're going to encrypt our messages. They announced that, you know, we can have messages be short-lived, so that a message you posted as a teenager 20 years back doesn't come back to haunt you later. Those kinds of things are happening not because of regulation, but because users pushed back and Facebook finally said, okay, if this is what users want, we need to act. And I think votes are important too. We need our regulators to take this more seriously and look into data sharing and algorithmic decisions and automated decisions more carefully, and set a good set of best practices and principles that firms should follow. And that comes by us making sure we're electing the right kinds of representatives who understand technology and who will protect us. And lastly, there's voting with your wallet. At the end of the day, we all need to say, you know, there's some line we need to draw. Maybe that line is different for different people, but we kind of say we won't cross that. And so for different people, it's different things. For somebody, it might be that my social media should not be shared, and so if it's being shared, I won't use it. For somebody else, it might be, I don't want a speaker in my house or in my bedroom that's potentially listening to me when I'm not aware of it. And those kinds of things, I think, are important for us to actively consider before we get deeply immersed with any technology.
In seeing the expansion and the growth of the use of algorithms and technology in general, how do you feel about the future? Do you feel good about where we're going, or do you have serious concerns?
I'm going to describe this as guarded optimism. At the end of the day, I'm not a technology or algorithm skeptic. I think they can provide a lot of value. And the reason I'm actually ultimately an optimist is that when we have concerns with technology, we have to ask, what is the alternative? And the alternative isn't great. The alternative is human decision makers who have all kinds of biases. Yes, we're talking about, let's say, race bias in a sentencing algorithm, or gender bias in a recruiting algorithm, or many other kinds of algorithm failures. But humans have these biases, and algorithms on average are less biased. The challenge, though, and the reason I feel we need to take this issue seriously, is that, let's say, you have a biased judge, they affect the lives of 500 people. You have a biased recruiter, they affect the lives of maybe a few thousand people. But a biased algorithm that is used, you know, in all courtrooms in the US, or by large number of companies, or in most of the airplanes and driverless cars, that can affect millions of lives. And so the stakes are much higher with algorithm or automated decisions. And so we need to be careful. We need to put lots of checks and balances in place. We need to establish best practices and hold companies accountable for that. And if we do that, I think we'll be in a good place. But we need to do that now before we lose control.
The book is A Human's Guide to Machine Intelligence: How Algorithms Are Shaping Our Lives and How We Can Stay in Control. Kartik Hosanagar, the professor at the Wharton School and author of the book, we want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Next, is bias hardwired into everyone? That story as InfoTrack continues.
There's more InfoTrack coming up. Stay tuned.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential. But finding those people can be a major hassle, unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down, get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
Izervay or Avacincaptad Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Does bias occur naturally in all human beings, even when we make a genuine effort to treat others equally? And if so, how can we recognize our own biases? Here with the story, InfoTrack's Roy Mackey. Roy?
Thank you, Chris. Our guest is Dr. Jennifer Eberhardt, professor of psychology at Stanford University and a recipient of a 2014 MacArthur Genius Grant. She's also one of the world's leading experts on racial bias and has written a book called Biased, Uncovering the Hidden Prejudice That Shapes What We See, Think, and Do. Let's start with some definitions. What is unconscious bias related to race, and how does that differ from racism or bigotry?
Unconscious bias is something that we are all vulnerable to, and in my book, I'm looking at the science behind it, and it can be defined as the beliefs and feelings we have about social groups that can influence our decision-making and our actions, even when we're not aware of it. Typically, when people think about bias, they're thinking about burning crosses and people filled with hate, but you don't have to be an old-fashioned racist to be biased. You don't have to be a bigot to be biased. You don't have to be a bad person. It's something that we're all susceptible to, and it's something that we can actually address.
Another form that you write about is confirmation bias. Can you give us an example or two of what that is?
Well, confirmation bias is really looking for what is consistent with what we already believe. So we're looking for confirmation for our prior beliefs. And once we find that confirmation, our beliefs get even stronger. And I think that this is becoming more of an issue now with technology and with social media. You know, it's easy to find people who are like-minded and agree with what you already believe. But now with social media, we can talk to those people and just really freeze out or completely ignore things that are out there that are inconsistent with our beliefs. And so that can lead to further polarization.
Another form of bias that you write about is the Black Crime Association bias. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so this is one of the strongest associations that exists in the country that is applied to African Americans. And so it's one that even children actually are aware of. And this is sort of tying Black people to criminality. I opened the book actually with an observation of my son, who's 5 years old at the time, on an airplane, and he sees the only Black guy on the airplane, and he looks up and he says, "I hope he doesn't rob the plane." And he says this to me, and I'm thinking, well, you know, what are you talking about? Why would you say that? And he looked at me with a sad face, and he said, "I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I was thinking that." So this is a 5-year-old who already, you know, knows what's supposed to happen next.
You work as a consultant for law enforcement. What have you learned in terms of working with them and seeing body cams and so forth?
So we've done work with law enforcement basically using machine learning techniques to analyze body-worn camera footage. And we're analyzing that footage to see if we can understand how these interactions unfold across time, and then to also be able to be in a position to understand where they go wrong and how they go wrong. So I have been looking at this footage with a team of linguists and social psychologists and computer scientists, and we've looked at about 1,000 stops in one of the studies, and we were very interested in looking at the role that the officer's language plays in these traffic stops. And we found that the officers were professional overall in how they spoke to drivers, but they were significantly more respectful to white drivers than to black drivers. And we have some early evidence suggesting that the way that these officers are talking at the very beginning of the stop can influence how the community member then responds later. And so there's a way in which the officer's language can kind of set the tone for the stop in ways that can lead to either escalation or de-escalation.
So I would assume that you think that law enforcement needs to be much more proactive in terms of training for their officers regarding bias.
Oh, yes. I think that's true in all different industries or sectors. You know, our teachers need training. We need training in our workplaces. That's training that's being welcomed now. I think a lot of departments wanted to figure out how to reduce tension with communities of color, especially, and I think that's a good thing.
Our guest on InfoTrack is Dr. Jennifer Eberhard, professor of psychology at Stanford University and one of the world's leading experts on racial bias. She's written a book called Biased, Uncovering the Hidden Prejudice That Shapes What We See, Think, and Do. I think a lot of people would be surprised at the wide-ranging economic effects of bias. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it goes from everything from hiring to setting salaries to making promotions. So it's affecting people in pretty big ways. There was a classic study done some years ago looking at how people make hiring decisions, and they sent out thousands of resumes to potential employers, and they would match the resumes on all the work history and everything, and so they would change the name on the resume to something that was stereotypically, you know, black, like LaShawn or Jamal, or they would have a resume that was more stereotypically white, like Greg. They sent out these resumes and found that there was a huge difference in the callback rates. So the resumes with the black-sounding names got 50% fewer callbacks than the resumes with the white-sounding names. We even see that with gender, so it's an issue.
You mentioned the incident with your son on the airplane. What kind of advice would you offer to parents in talking to their kids about racial bias?
Many parents think that the way to be a good parent is to not talk about race because you want your child to be colorblind and to, you know, not notice color, and then they can't be affected by it. That's the idea behind it. But the research shows that when we teach children not to see color, they don't see discrimination either, even when that discrimination is blatant. So this idea of teaching our children not to see race so that we can have a better world and a world that is more equal, actually it's turning out to be just the opposite.
In ourselves, any advice on steps that we can take to recognize our biases as they happen?
Yeah, there's a lot of work there. Just because we're vulnerable to bias doesn't mean we're completely overpowered by it. So we know what situations are going to lead to more bias than others. And so we know that bias is most likely to be triggered in situations where we're making split-second decisions, or when we're feeling stressed or depleted, or when we're not monitoring our own behavior across time and across different cases. And so we can combat bias by simply slowing down, relaxing, keeping tabs on our own behavior. So there are all these mitigation tools that we can use that are at our disposal to curb bias. And so that makes me hopeful, actually, about all of this.
Dr. Jennifer Eberhard, professor of psychology at Stanford University and the author of Biased, Uncovering the Hidden Prejudice That Shapes What We See, Think, and Do. Dr. Eberhard, do you have a website?
I do. It's jennifereberhard.com.
Well, thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now, there's something you can do to
slow
it down and get it going slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
iZurvey or Avacincaptad Captain Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZERVAY.com.
When a cardiologist recommends a specific treatment for a patient, we assume the heart doctor is following researched guidelines. But surprisingly, a top physician says that may not be the case. With more, here's InfoTrack's Gina Tedesco. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. A new study shows less than 10% of heart care guidelines are based on, shall we say, the gold standard of research. What does it mean? Joining us now is the study's lead author, Dr. Alexander Fanaroff of the Duke University Medical Center. Doctor, before we dive into the details, your team is saying more than 90% of the heart care guidelines are based on lower quality research. Do you have an opinion one way or another as to whether these are worthwhile guidelines?
I would say the guidelines are worthwhile. They give really the best sense of the consensus of the community in cardiology as to how we should take care of our patients. And, you know, we have to take care of our patients. We have to take care of them as best we can. So I do think the guidelines are worthwhile. The question is whether we can make better guidelines by generating better evidence.
The presumption is, of course, when doctors stick to the guidelines, the patient is likely to improve, right?
Yes, and there is some evidence showing that when physicians stick to guidelines, their patients do better than physicians who don't stick to the guidelines.
And we should point out that while guidelines are extremely important, they're not hard and fast rules, are they, Dr. Fanaroff? And so, if more heart doctors were aware of your study results, would it be appropriate for them to rely less on the guidelines?
It's always best to rely on the guidelines, but I think that what our study shows is that in some areas, the guidelines are imperfect. One of the things that is important to note is that in some cases, there is excellent evidence for the recommendations that the guidelines make. And I think this is particularly the case for most of our drugs and many of our devices. In those cases, the evidence is on solid footing. And these are things like controlling blood pressure and controlling cholesterol. The evidence for doing those things and using those medicines is very good. So where the evidence is solid, physicians should certainly rely on the guidelines. Where the evidence is a little bit less solid, using clinical judgment may come into play.
Now let's dive into those details. Committees that write the guidelines put them into categories A, B, and C based on the level of research supporting them. Can you describe for us each level by category?
Level of evidence A represents the gold standard. This is evidence from multiple randomized controlled trials or a single large, well-done randomized controlled trial. Level of evidence B are when you have either one small trial or more often observational studies. Level of evidence C is strictly expert opinion. So you consult the eminences in the field, who are often the ones writing the guidelines, and they remember the patients they treat. They use a knowledge of pathology and physiology and really important things, but no systematic evidence.
And so 91% of the guidelines fell into categories B and C.
Yes.
Is this of any alarm?
I would say that it's cause for alarm. It should be a call to action to really generate more randomized controlled trials so that we can have higher quality evidence. The thing about recommendations that are level evidence B or C is that in the next iteration of the guidelines, we may know more. We may have done better research, and we may find out that we have not been treating patients correctly. And there's some evidence to bear out the fact that recommendations that are level of evidence A don't tend to be overturned when guidelines are updated, and recommendations that are level evidence B or C are sometimes overturned or more often overturned than level evidence A. So I would stop short of saying it's cause for alarm, but I would say it should be a call to action to really generate more high-quality evidence.
In this era of electronic patient charts and such, why don't we have more and better data to support guidelines?
Traditionally, clinical trials have kind of existed outside of patient care. The challenge really, though, is that electronic health record data does not talk to each other really as well as one might think. Collecting data from Duke doesn't mean that you can collect the same data from University of North Carolina or any other institution, because the data really is separate. So one thing that I think would facilitate doing more randomized controlled trials is really having the electronic health records be able to talk to each other and generate really usable data for clinical trials. That is the way of the future, and a lot of people are working on that. And hopefully, when we do this type of study in 10 years, we'll be able to say that we really have taken a big step forward in the level of evidence supporting guidelines.
Dr. Alexander Fanaroff of Duke University Medical Center, good luck to you, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
And that's it for this edition of InfoTrack. Internet services provided by Pear.com. Special thanks this week to InfoTrack reporters Gina Tedesco and Roy Mackey, and our executive producer, Randy Meyer. I'm Chris Whitting, inviting you to join us next time on another edition of InfoTrack.
Tell your smart speaker to play St. Croix Country.
Top of our lungs, shuffling it on, still the one. Missing turns, cause that's our song. If heaven is anywhere, it's in a blue Tacoma, California. White magnolia in your hair, rays of gold shining on you. Ooh, if heaven is anywhere, it's never running out of golden road. Always having your hand to hold in a blue Tacoma, California. Right here. Red sun melting to the blacktop, dollar shades from a nowhere truck stop. Your kiss on that coastline, if heaven is anywhere, pull it over to the shoulder, take it in. Loving you longer than I ever did. Going places we've never been. Heaven's in a blue Tacoma, California. White magnolia in your hair. Rays of gold shining on you. Ooh, if heaven is anywhere, it's never running out of golden road. Always having your hand to hold in a blue Tacoma, California. Ooh, if heaven is anywhere, it's right here.
Where the blacktop ends, We'd walk to church on Sunday morning, race barefoot back to Johnson's Fence. That's where I first saw Mary, on that roadside picking blackberries. That summer I turned a corner in my soul down that red dirt road. It's where I drank my first beer. It's where I found Jesus. Where I wrecked my first car. I tore it all to pieces. I learned the path to heaven is full of sinners and on earth ain't just for high achievers. I've come to know there's life at both ends of that red dirt road. Her daddy didn't like me much. In my shackled up GTO, I'd sneak out. Got her back again. And driving home tonight feels like I found a long lost friend. It's where I drank my first beer. It's where I found Jesus. Where I wrecked my first car. I tore it all to pieces. I learned the path to heaven. Sinners and believers learn that happiness on earth ain't just for high achievers. I've come to know there's life at both ends of that red dirt road.
Waiting for you, keep checking over your shoulder, like somebody's about to walk through the door. Yeah, I bet he's got a real good excuse, but right now I wouldn't want to be in his boots. I'm looking at what he's got to lose, sitting all alone tonight. Look, I ain't saying I'm an angel, baby, if you can't tell. No, I ain't to take you home to mama tight. And I ain't saying he's a bad guy. Must up and lost his mind tonight. Cause you're down to the ice and that drink he didn't buy. I'm here and he's MIA. That ain't no kind of love. I ain't saying I'm the one. I'm just saying he's sure as hell ain't. He's sure as hell ain't. He's sure as hell ain't. Judging by the way you just smiled,
ain't telling you nothing you don't already know. He let you down, but is he upside? I can give you move on somewhere to go. I ain't trying to change that miss to a missus, but he don't know what he's missing. Girl, listen, I ain't saying I'm an angel, baby, if you can't tell. No, I ain't to take you home to mama tight. And I ain't saying he's a bad guy. All I know is that guy must have up and lost his mind tonight. Cause you're down to the ice and that drink he didn't buy. I'm here and he's MIA. That ain't no kind of love. I ain't saying I'm the one. I'm just saying he's sure as hell ain't. He's sure as hell ain't. Got a real good excuse, but right now I wouldn't wanna be in his boots. I'm looking at what he's got to lose, sitting all alone tonight. Look, I ain't saying I'm an angel, baby, if you can't tell. No, I ain't to take you home to mama tight. And I ain't saying he's a bad guy. All I know is that guy must have up and lost his mind tonight. Cause you're down to the ice and that drink he didn't buy. I'm here and he's in my head. That ain't no kind of love. I ain't saying I'm the one. I'm just saying he's sure as hell ain't. He's sure as hell ain't.
Another heartbreak, I don't need another turn to cry. No, I don't wanna learn the hard way. Baby, hello, oh no, goodbye. But you got me like a rocket, shooting straight across the sky. It's the way you love me, it's a feeling like this. It's centrifugal motion, it's perpetual bliss. It's that pivotal moment, it's impossible. This kiss, unstoppable. This kiss, Cinderella said to Snow White, how does love get so off course? Oh, all I wanted was a white knight with a good heart, soft touch, fast horse. Ride me off into the sunset, baby, I'm forever yours. It's the way you love me, it's a feeling like this. It's centrifugal motion, it's perpetual bliss. It's that pivotal moment, it's unthinkable. This kiss, unsinkable. This kiss, you can kiss me in the moonlight, on the rooftop, under the sky. Oh, you can kiss me with the window while the rain comes pouring inside. Oh, kiss me in sweet slow motion. Let's let everything slide. You got me floating, you got me flying. It's the way you love me, it's a feeling like this. It's centrifugal motion, it's perpetual bliss. It's that pivotal moment, it's subliminal. This kiss, it's criminal. This kiss, it's the way you love me, baby. It's the way you love me, darling. Yeah. It's the way you love me. It's a feeling like this. It's centrifugal motion. It's perpetual bliss. It's that pivotal moment. It's subliminal. This kiss, it's criminal. This kiss, it's the way you love me, baby. The way you love me, baby. It's the
Jay Roberts in the morning. Country favorites all day long. 95.7 St. Croix Country.
Thank you. a trail through the trees to a cliff where Carolina meets the sky. Oh, and there's a view I just can't describe. No, we're not there yet, just a few more steps, baby, wait.
Okay,
you can open your eyes. This is it, this is now, this is what I've been talking about. Looking out, can't you see forever? Take my hand, just take it in. This is the moment we won't forget. On top of the world, here together. If there ever was a time for a perfect kiss, this is it.
Just wanna go back in time to American honey.
American honey.
Seven. St. Croix Country. Northwest Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app. 95.7 St. Croix Country. WSCM Baldwin. Your home for country favorites and classics. This is 95.7 St. Croix Country.
Somebody's gonna give you a lesson and leave, and somebody's gonna give you back what you've been given. And
to watch them knock you down.